It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. NFC style. Week 2. No time to dilly-dally. He's Evan. I'm Ross. If you don't know who we are, thanks for listening for the first time. You are going to love this. We're going to make sure you know exactly what you need to know for every NFC skill position player. If we don't mention them, you know why we're not mentioning. We're just going to mention the people that matter in your lineup. Start, sit, potentially drop, whatever the case may be. Evan is a stud over at Roto World, at Evan Silva on Twitter. I'm on 4 fantasy teams, and I'm not afraid to admit it, at Ross Tucker, NFL. Evan, let's start. Houston, at Carolina, not exactly an impressive first showing for the Carolina Panthers out of the gate, but I guess also probably not exactly that surprising either. I mean, it's kind of what we expected, right?
Yeah, but I think there were some positive takeaways from Cam. The Panthers were very – like, they know that they have a wideout deficiency. They were very aggressive using Cam on quarterback keeps and read option. He had 14 rushing attempts, which is the second most of his career in a single game. So that's going to be a big part of their offense, and that eventually is going to be very, very good for Cam's fantasy value. Because we know how inconsistent and up and down of a passer he is. He's not an effective passer when you put him in situations where he needs to bring the team back. His numbers are really bad historically in those shootout sort of situations. So we get him running, and that's really good news. Greg Olsen is going to be fine. He's another great play. I talked about Steve Smith on the earlier podcast, the AFC podcast. But Greg Olsen is a guy that hurt a lot of people in week one, and therefore that's going to make him a great DFS tournament play this week, because all the people that used him last week are not going to use him. Travis Kelce tore up the Texans last week, 6-106-2. And I'm liking, as a kind of contrarian DFS stack, Cam Newton and Greg Olsen. Not too expensive, and I think it'll be real low owned.
Let's go to Arizona at Chicago. There will be no Andre Ellington in this game with the PCL strain. He actually looked pretty decent against on Sunday against the Saints until he got hurt. Fitzgerald had a decent day. I guess my question would be, is there a place in some people's lineups for Darren Fells, or is that an anomaly in your mind?
I think it's an anomaly. Ultimately, he's going to end up sharing time with Jermaine Gresham. Darren Fells really is a blocker. Even last week, he blocked on more snaps than he ran pass routes. So I wouldn't, you know, let's address it if it happens again against the Bears, but I would not even go pick him up. John Brown went 4-46-1 in the first quarter last week against New Orleans, and then didn't have a catch after that. But they did target him. Carson Palmer did target him twice in the end zone, and on one of them he drew a PI flag that set up Ellington's 1-yard TD. I think John Brown is going to be good to go. He is the Cardinals' big play weapon in the passing game with Michael Floyd barely playing. And Larry Fitzgerald, I think, is a really strong fantasy start as well. You know, you go from an offense that was kind of trying to distribute the ball to 3 different wide receivers to only 2, and that helps the other 2 because they're going to get more balls. The RB situation will be interesting. Ellington not expected to play this week. So Chris Johnson and David Johnson, I think David Johnson gives you a lot more upside, but Chris Johnson is going to be the lead back, according to Bruce Arians, against the Bears, and that at least puts him in the mix as a flex play. I wouldn't love it, but it's not bad.
Question I have on the Bears really revolves around Marcus Wilson. Alshon Jeffrey looked decently healthy. He went 578. Forte went off. Everybody's starting him. You're starting Marty B. You're starting Alshon Jeffrey. Marcus Wilson, 2 catches, 59 yards. Eddie Royal was really nowhere to be found. What do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, as long as Alshon and Martellus Bennett are kind of cooking in there, you know, they are committed to running the football, which they very much were with Matt Forte, Quiz Rogers, and Jeremy Langford also combined for 5 carries. But, you know, there's not going to be a whole lot left over for Eddie Royal and Marcus Wilson. And those guys are, you know, I mean, they're going to probably have some good games over the course of the year. It's just there's no predictability to that. And that reduces, because they don't have predictability, that reduces their fantasy value. You know, you can't invest a lot into guys like that. So it's Martellus, it's Alshon, it's Forte. Those guys should be in your lineup. But the other guys are, you know, they're just complementary role players, low volume guys. And you know, they're maybe at the end of your bench or they're on the waiver wire.
Detroit is at Minnesota. Both teams 0-1. It's an NFC North slobber knocker. I think you mentioned on the AFC podcast, Eric Ebron had a pretty good day. The running back rotation was interesting. Primarily Amir Abdullah. Joik Bell did get some touches, was not nearly as effective. I guess I'd start to imagine Abdullah getting even more of a role in regular down and distance, and maybe Theo Riddick picking up some of the slack in the passing game to give Abdullah a break.
Yeah, and the Lions only ran 47 plays in week one, just got dominated in time of possession by San Diego. I mean, Phillip Rivers had like over 40 pass attempts, over 400 passing yards. So, but that's not really an accurate picture of what is going to happen with the Lions weekly. Like last year, they averaged 65 plays a game. So they were essentially missing 20 plays. So you can't look at the box score and be like, you know, have strong takeaways from, oh, you know, is Calvin Johnson done? Oh, Amir Abdul only had 11 touches. You know, like you got to understand that they only ran about 60 to 65% of what they're usually going to run. Abdullah is the lead back in Detroit. And I know Joik Bell got the start, but Abdullah significantly outsnapped Joik and led the Lions backfield in touches, was very involved in the passing game, had 4 targets, caught all 4. So I think it's going to be the Abdullah show, you know, going forward. Calvin Johnson, I think, is going to be fine. The Chargers, and Mike McCoy discussed this, the Chargers really sold out to stop him. I mean, they had Brandon Flowers shadow him everywhere, and they had Eric Weddle over the top of Megatron. You know, that can happen in a given week, but, you know, not all defensive coordinators are going to want to operate like that.
As for Minnesota, they obviously didn't look very good. Wallace went 6 for 63. Kyle Rudolph 5 for 53. A disappointing first start for Charles Johnson. But for Peterson, I got to tell you, and I know that the Niners D-line did a nice job, I'm not jumping off the Peterson bandwagon yet. I didn't see the same level of burst that we're used to seeing from him. Maybe it was rusty. Maybe I need to study the coaching tape more, but watching it on TV, you can usually feel his runs. I didn't feel them.
I hear you. I thought he did look really explosive on one of his receptions, but the sample was small, and this was another team that got dominated in time of possession. You know, The 49ers had the ball all game, and I don't want to have too strong of takeaways from the week one game just because the Vikings didn't have the ball very much offensively. I think Charles Johnson is going to be okay. the again, we talked on the AFC pod how Phillip Rivers just ate up the Lions defense with, you know, bubble screens and in breaking routes and the shallow crosses. And that's a blueprint for Norv Turner to look at. That's Teddy Bridgewater's game, is the short passing game, the quick passing game, the timing and rhythm passing game. The Vikings should bounce back and have some success, especially if Darius Slade does not play. The Lions are already without DeAndre Levy, who is critical to their pass coverage. Darius Slay suffered an ankle injury. I think he was in a boot on Tuesday. And Rasheen Mathis, you know, he's 35, and he got worked by Keenan Allen last week. So when guys start to get that old, you start to worry, you know, it could go at any time. And I think that the Lions' pass defense right now is very vulnerable.
I'm with you. Speaking of vulnerable, your season-long team might be vulnerable, which is why you can change it up at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. If you're less than thrilled with the team you drafted, it happens to all of us. Guess what? You can draft a new team every single week at DraftKings, who's crowning a new millionaire every week this season. It really is cool to get involved in DFS, to have a shot every single week, to pick a new lineup. It's pretty fun. You get to see the prices for the guys and try to find value. It's like shopping. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code FEAST to play for free for a shot at $1 million in this week's Millionaire Maker event. Enter FEAST for free entry now, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. How about Tampa at New Orleans? Tampa really, frankly, could not have been much worse. I'm very proud that I had them before week one, number 32 in my power rankings, because it looks like they'll stay there with how they operated, really on both sides of the ball. I guess the one real positive was Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Yeah, and I think you got to start to wonder if the game is kind of start to pass Lovie Smith by. You remember, this is a defense that allowed like that 5 TD game to Joe Flacco last year. Marcus Mariota in his first NFL start throws 4 touchdown passes. Bishop Sankey has the best game of his career. You know, this was in Tampa Bay. That's embarrassing, man. That is legitimately embarrassing. And that's not to take away from Mariota, who I think is already a quality NFL starter. But that is, you know, that's embarrassing and almost inexcusable. And now we want to tee off on the Bucs in fantasy with Mark Ingram, with Drew Brees, with Brandon Cooks. I was looking at some home away stats for Brandon Cooks. Historically, he's played 11 NFL games. 5 of them have been at home. In those games, he has averaged 18 PPR fantasy points per game. And then in road games, he has averaged under 9 PPR fantasy points per game. So huge home road splits. The Saints are back home this week. Love Brandon Cooks across the board. I think he's going to bounce back and eat against Tampa Bay.
Got it. Well, I think a lot of people are going to eat against Tampa Bay, and your point about Lovie Smith is a pretty good one. Atlanta is at the New York Giants. And I got to tell you, I mean, we all know about Julio. I'm not even going to talk about Julio. But I like what I saw from Tevin Coleman. I liked the way he ran the ball. He didn't break a big one, and he still averaged 4 yards a carry against a good Eagles front.
Yeah, that's a really good run D. I mean, last 2 years, the Eagles have ranked 4th and 4th in yards per carry average allowed. They are going to be a good run D over the course of the season. I'm with you. I thought that Tevin Coleman ran with a lot of toughness, grinded inside. He wasn't the oftentimes boomer bust back that he was often at Indiana. Like to see that from him. And eventually, you know, he's going to start busting some long gains. He is really, really interesting play against the Giants, who their run defense personnel is bad. And this will be that Falcons offensive line's 2nd full game you know, together after that. That was really put together at the last minute, after final cuts, you know, acquiring Levitre and, you know, all that. They got Chester right before camp. So they moved Mike Person, to center. This will be their second full game together. I like Tevin in this game a lot. I think he's going to break a long one.
What about for the Giants and their offense? I guess the biggest positive to come out of the game was maybe Vereen in the passing game. I don't know.
I hear you. It wasn't a good week one for the Giants, and they sort of have a tendency to start slow. I think they're going to be okay. I think that this is a good matchup for them against Atlanta. The Falcons just do not have a lot of talent defensively. I know they made some plays against Sam Bradford, and they had a huge loss, or they threw DeMarco Murray for a huge loss in that Monday nighter. But they just don't have a lot of players defensively, and I think the Giants will get their stuff together, and I think Odell Beckham should bounce back, and I still feel pretty good about the Giants' offense. The Vegas line makers do as well. This game has the second highest total of the week, and the game is close. Like, there's not a big spread on it. So both teams are expected to score a lot of points this week.
Niners are at Pittsburgh. We talked about the Steelers on the AFC podcast. I think we even talked about the Niners maybe on the AFC podcast. Only question I guess I would have is, is Vernon Davis back? I guess there was a lot of good tight end performances, but is Vernon Davis back to being a consideration?
He is. It's not like he blew the doors off. I think he had, what, like 47 yards? I mean, he made some plays. You know, that's good to see. But he would be, you know, if I were to do rankings, he would be, you know, maybe in the teens among tight ends. Carlos Hyde looked like an absolute stud. Loved the way the 49ers run blocked. Love Anquan Boldin in this game. I mean, he is going to ragdoll Cortez Allen over and over again.
The Rams are at the Redskins. I was pretty impressed with how Foles did against the Seahawks. The numbers don't look great for Benny Cunningham. I thought he actually did okay. It looks like there's a chance Gurley will play. I doubt it. I'm not sure there's really a play for anybody on the Rams in this game, other than maybe if you're in a crazy deep league, a Benny Cunningham pickup or Jared Cook at tight end. As for the Redskins, I really thought, you know, I mean, they gave Matt Jones six carries, but they were running the ball so well on the Dolphins that they just stuck with Al Morris and Jordan Reed. I've been calling Jordan Reed TV, radio, everywhere, podcast everywhere, so I felt good about that.
Nice, nice. Yeah, and now with D-Jax going down, you know, the distribution of targets is going to be narrowed a little bit. I was looking at Pierre Garçon, his price in DFS is so cheap, man. And you remember before DeSean Jackson went to Washington in 2013, Pierre Garçon led the NFL in targets. Loving Pierre Garçon in DFS this week. I think he's a really strong season-long play as well. Jordan Reed is going to be an every-week starter for sure. And, you know, as long as he stays healthy. And, yeah, Alfred Morris, look, they were very, very committed to running the football. They have talent on that O-line, man. I mean, they got Trent Williams, Brandon Scherff. They've got talent on the O-line. And if they stay committed to running the football like that, Alfred Morris is going to be fine. And I still think Matt Jones is worth owning in all leagues, even if he isn't, you know, having big fantasy days yet. Those could come down the road.
Well, and sometimes down the road you need to borrow some money, Evan. I know you're one of those type of guys. I got a company that's got it for you, Avant. Avant provides access to personal loans from $1,000 to $35,000 without ever stepping foot in a branch. You can check what your rate would be risk-free with no effect on your FICO score. Application takes minutes, and the money could even be in your account as soon as tomorrow. Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after you make your first payment online. For this offer and to check your rate risk-free, go to AvantOffer.com and enter promo code FANTASY. That's A-V-A-N-T, offer.com, promo code FANTASY, AvantOffer.com, promo code FANTASY. Loans made by WebBank and by affiliates of Avant Incorporated. California loans offered by Avant are made under finance lender's license number 603K124. Funds are generally deposited via ACH for delivery next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details. Cowboys at the Eagles. Evan Silva, what do you got for me?
This should be a fun one. The Vegas total is over 55 points, biggest of the week. Man, Jordan Matthews was so close to just an absolute mammoth Monday night game. He still had a big one. I think he finished at 10 catches for over 100. But he, you know, if they would have replayed that that play down near the goal line, he was definitely in. And then he had that drop on what I think amounted to the Eagles' last play from scrimmage, but he is going to be a monster all season long. Nelson Agholor is a guy who's going to get dropped in a lot of leagues this week, but he played way more than I expected, got shut down by Desmond Trufant. I don't know that he's a fantasy starter right now, but he's like a full-time player in the Eagles offense. He's going to do work you know, over the course of the year. If you see him get dropped in your fantasy league, pick him up immediately. There's so many players here. Bradford is going to be a monster as long as he's healthy. DeMarco Murray is going to be a TD scoring machine. I know the yards weren't there in the first game. The game flow against Atlanta, because the Falcons jumped out to that early lead, led to more playing time for Matthews and Sproles. But I think it's pretty clear that DeMarco Murray is going to be the lead back there, and I think he's going to score a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, what about Sproles, man? 7 catches, 76 yards, 5 carries, 50. I know he's supposed to be the third wheel, but I don't know if Chip cares. I mean, and I'm guessing, you know, in some of these leagues, you could probably pick up Sproles.
Yeah, I mean, the flow of the game and the fact that the Falcons jumped out to a big lead definitely led to more playing time for Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles is a good player. They're going to use him in the passing game. I don't know if I would trust him in fantasy, because you remember last year he had two big games, and then he didn't do anything the rest of the way. Like over the last 13 games, he averaged 5.5 touches per game. He's an old guy. You know, he's like almost 33 years old, I think. That, you know, I think that he's going to have some useful weeks, and he was probably a really good pick in MFL 10s. I would have a hard time trusting him unless it's like a 14-team PPR.
Who benefits from Dez being out for a while? They traded for – I can't remember the kid's name right now. Bryce.
Bryce Butler.
They traded for Bryce Butler. But who benefits the most from Dez out? Terrence Williams and – Witten, Beasley?
Oh, man, their offense is going to be totally different. I mean, they're not going to be able to get the ball downfield. They don't have that threat, you know. And I don't think Terrence Williams is a guy that you funnel a lot of offense through. Cole Beasley, you know, the way that they use their running backs in the passing game in week one, that could tell a little bit of the story on how they're going to try to move the offense. They were very much a dink and dunk offense in week one, and maybe they'll just continue to do that. Lance Dunbar, Jason Witten, you know, they've got a lot of players there. They don't have a lot of dynamic playmakers anymore.
Finally, last, but actually it is least, how about the Sunday nighter? It's the Seahawks at the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, James Jones gets two touchdowns. Just unbelievable, like the way the NFL is, if you think about it. For the Seahawks, their offensive line's struggling. And Green Bay's D-line, thankfully for them, is not as good as the Rams. But Seahawks' offensive line is struggling. Second straight road game. Now it's a night game.
Yep. I hear you, man. I do like Russell Wilson in this one, though. This is a game where I think that we could see a lot of Russell Wilson scrambles. He's had pretty good success against the Packers. They played a lot in recent years. I think he may be very aggressive in this one. Seahawks got to win this one, man. Like, they lost week one at St. Louis. Now they're going to Green Bay. That's a tough way to open the season. I think they'll be pretty aggressive. That Russell Wilson also talked about the Seahawks maybe going with more up-tempo, which they did a little bit against the Rams. And they may try to do that a lot more against Green Bay, prevent Green Bay from, you know, substituting and just try to find more of a rhythm on offense. I like Russell Wilson a lot. I think that the way that the Seahawks will defend Green Bay and how Green Bay reacts to that, it will be very interesting, and I don't feel comfortable like trying to predict it, because you remember a couple years ago, or last week one in 2014, I want to say it was last year, the Packers stuck Jarrett Boykin on Richard Sherman's side and just played offense with like 60% of the field. And now we're seeing Richard Sherman in the slot in the Seahawks sub package, which means that Randall Cobb would theoretically be on him a lot, but the Packers are willing to move their guys around. Like, they're just not going to, you know, continually let their best receiver run into brick walls. So it'll be interesting to see, man. It's a great matchup. I expect a great game. I don't know if I trust James Jones completely as a fantasy star, but he's certainly in the third receiver mix. And Devontae Adams was pretty disappointing in week one.
Yes, he was. And there's a lot of people jumping on that train. Speaking of disappointing, that's going to do it for today's NFC edition of the podcast. That was a really weak, pathetic attempt at like a disappointed, sad voice, but whatever. I tried, okay? I'm trying to spice it up, entertain a little bit. Have an awesome week too, everybody. We will be back next week. Of course, we're posting both of these on Wednesday from now on, both your AFC and your NFC. You can listen to it whenever you want for whatever your purposes are for your lineup. Really hope you guys have a great weekend of football. Hope your teams win. If you do, DraftKings, hope you win some money there. And we love hearing from you, whether it's on social media. He is at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. Or if you just go ahead and send us an email to ross@rostucker.com with your sponsor confirmation, we will go ahead and gladly, I tell you, respond to whatever your email question is. If it's specific for your lineup, just send that in on Monday or Tuesday. We'll answer it on Wednesday. Other than that, stick a fork in us because we're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.